You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not freaking out about Valentine's Day, but Harrison, you asked for help, and I'm sad to say that nobody came through. How, on a scale of 1 to oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, how nervous are you now that you got no help and it's your first Valentine's Day that matters in like 25 years?
Okay, first of all, that's hurtful. I'm 26 years old, so I've had Valentine's Days that mattered before. And second of all...
Right, your first one. Wait. The very actual first one.
Wait, so really nobody, like, nobody helped me out? I'm just, like, I'm on my own?
You're on your own, bud. Do you want my advice?
I guess you tricked a girl into marrying you, so sure.
Get advice from a better person.
Oh.
There's your advice. I was honestly hoping for some good advice there, and apparently
I'm so screwed.
Yeah, everybody's okay with, well, we'll just throw Harrison off into the deep end with some sharks.
I'm just gonna let you guys know, if she leaves me, I'm not coming back to the show.
And for like all thousands of you who are asking for a solo pod, you're gonna get it, but in the wrong direction.
Not the one you wanted.
Speaking of the podcast, we actually do have Lakers stuff to talk about. Lonzo Ball is not going to be back until after the All-Star break. Harrison has a hot take. We haven't heard one of these in a long time. So Harrison's going to bring back the hot take about Lonzo Ball.
You know how long it's been? I'm not even sure that I can locate the sound effect for it. So we'll see. We'll see post if that ends up rolling.
Then we will talk about We will actually talk about the Lonzo Ball injury. And then we got a really interesting question on iTunes that I think Harrison and I kind of disagree about. And I saw somebody saying that I've been talking too much lately. I would happen to agree. My voice would happen
that
to
agree. That was me, Anthony.
Oh, yeah. And Jen also.
Yes.
But my voice would tend to agree with both of you and all of you. And I think that was a product of us doing a lot of agreeing. And me being the host, I talk first, and then it just winds up being, yep, I agree, right?
I know it's getting bad when my girlfriend will, you know, like, she'll sometimes, like, be sitting behind me while we're recording, and she's like, wait, you only talked, like, two or three times in, like, 30 minutes. Are you sure that he needs you? And well, so, you know.
I mean, Mia, I'm planting the seed. That's what I'm doing. Just getting you to think, Does Anthony really need me? Anywho, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Let's go ahead and get to this hot take. Harrison, do your thing.
All right, Anthony. News came out today. Lonzo Ball gonna be likely out until the All-Star break, through the All-Star break. And you know what? I'm just getting really tired of this soft, glorified Kendall Marshall with the worst jump shot being such a diva about his little, like, oh, I hurt my knee, oh, it's an MCL sprain. No, you know, Kobe would have played through this, and you don't deserve to have his locker. You think you're Kobe, you're not. You and Lonzo Ball and Paul Pierce put them in the club together of guys who think they're Kobe but are not, according to me and Draymond Green, you know, tag team of deciding who is and who is not Kobe. And, you know, it's like
facts
people talk
only
about this
Lonzo
guy.
Lonzo Ball is not Kobe. That's yeah. Just a fact.
No, exactly. And honestly, I stand by this. I said the same thing when Brandon Ingram was given Kobe's locker. And I'm going to say the same thing now that Lonzo Ball has Kobe's locker. Just hit the earth with a meteor, man. It's over. Nobody's going to live up to Kobe. Lonzo doesn't deserve it. Everybody talks about him like he's this young star. They say, oh, he's going to be an all-star someday. Oh, he's a rising star this year. You know what? I don't see him playing in either game, Anthony. I don't see him playing in either game. And everyone knows that the rising stars game is how you determine who are actually the best young players in the NBA. It's why Jordan Clarkson was in it 2 years in a row. It's why D'Angelo Russell was in it. It's why all of these guys, you know, noted young star Malcolm Brogdon has been in it. It's just like, that is how we, these awards and these accolades, these are how we determine who is a young star. And I just think it's a joke. And I know that you probably agree with me, because you were the one that called out Julius Randle justifiably 2 years ago for not playing in Summer League as a, I believe, was it second year player?
Third year, technically.
Third year player. Yeah, third year Julius Randle did not play in Summer League. You were not very happy. And so I know you'll agree with me on this. Not playing in the Rising Stars game, I just think it shows Lonzo Ball doesn't have toughness. And you know what? It's led me down kind of a dark path, Anthony. And I'm at the point where I hear LaVar Ball going on, you know, talking to reporters yesterday. He's like, oh, my son, he's going to leave if the Lakers don't want to pay his two younger brothers and reunite them in the NBA. And you know what? I'm saying let him walk. Actually, you know what I think the Lakers should do? They need to trade Lonzo to Lithuania for a case of Big Baller brand water, because at least if that stuff is not poison, which I guess is like not a guarantee based on Big Baller brand's business model so far, but if that stuff is like clean to drink, it will do more to help the Lakers than Lonzo Ball is currently, because at least they can stay hydrated while they're all running around trying to cover up for his absence. I'm sick of the kid, Anthony. He's soft, and he's not a star because he's not playing in the Rising Stars game. And, you know, Kobe would have pushed through this. You could literally, like, chop one of Kobe's fingers off right on the court, and that man would have played through it. He tried to play on a torn Achilles, Anthony. I don't know if you've heard this story. Tried to pop his Achilles back into place and tried to play. That's, you know, Kobe toughness, Mamba mentality. Lonzo doesn't have it. He just thinks he's like Big Baller brand before he's even done anything. This is why Nike didn't sign him.
I have a couple questions, and I'm going to ask them here in a second. All right, so my first question is, in which universe do you think that I would never have heard the story of Kobe trying to pop his own Achilles back into place?
It's a very important story to bring up, Anthony. Anytime you're talking about Kobe's mental toughness, you must bring up that story. It's taught in Journalism 101 now.
I never took journalism classes, so it would make sense that maybe I hadn't heard that story.
You're also old, so it probably wouldn't have been taught when you were in school anyway.
Fair point. Also a fair point. My next question is, do you think Tom Brady is a Lonzo Ball fan? Because Lonzo is more of a deflated ball at this point, right?
But I'm...
Yeah. The last question on your hot take. How many meteors do you think Earth can take?
I don't know, Anthony. I want to see the planet get pounded into oblivion today. Not just because I have no Valentine's Day plans, thanks to the listeners, and I'm absolutely screwed, but also because this is a disgrace. It's a disgrace, a travesty, a sham mockery. I am embarrassed for the NBA. I'm embarrassed for the Lakers organization. They should have just immediately just cemented over Kobe's locker. Nobody can ever live up to his legacy, but they decided, they're like, oh no, we're going to kick Brandon Ingram out. We're going to give it to Lonzo Ball. And, you know, Anthony, this is just, it's a disgrace.
I tend to agree. I can't even come to try to disagree with your point. They should have taken Kobe's locker out and put it in the museum somewhere, right? Or in Jeannie Buss's office.
Or right in the middle of the Staples Center practice court so that the players could like properly pay homage to him as they're dribbling up and down every single time. They must bow to the legacy of Kobe.
The Staples Center the Staples Center practice facility or the actual Lakers facility or both?
No, not the practice facility at Staples Center. That's actually a better idea. Put it right at mid. I think the Kamenetsky brothers said a couple of years ago that they should just put Kobe's statue right at midcourt, and I actually agree with that. I think it's the only way to properly respect the Mamba.
That's how he played defense over the last couple of years of his life. All right, let's actually figure a couple things out about this injury, though. It's now a month. He got hurt on January 13th. There was no initial diagnosis, which was a little odd. And then
the Lakers probably had one, but for whatever reason, they were just like, knee owie.
He has a boo-boo. Big boo-boo brand.
If I was a PR person, and this is why I'm not a PR person, I would literally release statements that said that. I would be like, he has a major case of the owies.
Technical term. If you get on my level.
Get like a doctor to comment on it.
Gary Vee, could you imagine? I mean, because you and I have both heard Gary Vee speak at one time or another, whether it's on TV, in person, whatever. Could you ever imagine him saying boo-boo?
No, that actually makes me wonder how he deals with like his grandkids and stuff. He probably gives them like official medical diagnoses. What you have here is a laceration of the pinky.
The kid's freaking out. What the hell is a laceration? but yeah, so I guess the question, because it's going to get asked to us at some point or another, but at what point do we start kind of wondering, all right, what actually might be going on here with Lonzo Ball's knee?
I'm actually not wondering. I think it's an MCL sprain.
Well, like, okay, fair. How bad a sprain you... I almost cussed on the air. If he isn't able to play, because the Lakers have a game by the time everybody is listening to this tonight being Wednesday, and then Thursday night, and then they have a game. They don't have a game until Friday, the following Friday after the All-Star break. If he can't go on that Friday, I think that's when we can really start kind of wondering if this guy,
Rising Stars game, for the Friday after the All-Star break.
Right. A week from this Friday is when the Lakers play again. And that's what, if he isn't able to make it to that game after 10 days off from now, that's where we start, I think, being a little concerned about when we might see him again, if we might see him again. Because they initially didn't give an official diagnosis, and then they gave a diagnosis of an MCL sprain. And they said that it was going to be a 2 to 3 week period. I think now this is going to be the third week, so he'll have gone beyond the diagnosis and the time frame that they thought that they might see him again. So if he goes a full week beyond that, I think that's when we can really start kind of wondering, all right, when and if we might see him.
So satirical hot takes aside, and to be clear for new listeners that are still with us after that, that was satire. And... I think I said this a couple episodes ago. This was always what I thought that they should do, is just shut him down and have him play like after that. Like, because that just gives him even more time to make sure that he's right. Mm-hmm. As far as like, if he just doesn't play over All-Star weekend, as much as kind of a blow that would be to the franchise to not have this player that they've so highly touted at every single opportunity play in the Rising Stars game, you got to give Lakers fans enough credit and hope that at least the majority of them will get it. Or that it just won't matter whether they get it or not, because Lonzo will come back and he'll be healthy and he'll be amazing at some point.
I don't think they necessarily need to go the route of the indefinitely. Right? Because the out indefinitely is really ominous, right? Like, Markelle Fultz was put out indefinitely because he forgot how to shoot. And I think if the Lakers just said, hey, we're going to shut him down for the next month, right?
The Lakers can't use that excuse with Lonzo because he never learned how to shoot.
You had to do that in the hot take voice.
Sorry.
Well, it's all right. But if they say that he's out for the next month, and not to worry about it, don't put him in front of cameras, not anything like that, then I think they can. And if he comes back early, then he looks like some kind of hero, right? But this idea of, well, first we aren't going to give an initial diagnosis, and then now he's going beyond the diagnosis, and oh man, he's right there, right? But when you keep saying that he's right there, that's like when you go and get your tire fixed and you say, hey, when is my tire going to be done? And they say 1 hour. And you said, well, you said an hour ago, right? And that's kind of the situation that Laker fans are put in right now. So, like you said, maybe we would like to give Laker fans credit, but you and I both know better, right?
Like, how dare you? Anthony, I think Lakers fans are smart. Well, I don't know why you would call them idiots. Wow, that was pretty rude. I'm sorry, guys.
Pretty low standing for all sports fans, given the stuff that pops up in my mentions all the time. But you have, I mean, when the news came out about LaVar Ball and threatening that Lonzo would be a free agent and sign wherever with whatever team would take on all three Ball brothers, the all too popular response was fine. Go away, Lonzo. Right? And everybody was just saying goodbye. And I thought that was kind of weird. I don't think it's a good practice to just wave high lottery talent out the door.
So I think the mindset behind that is like, we don't want those guys so badly taking up two roster spots that we're willing to say, okay, bye. I don't think it's like we hate Lonzo or think he's a bad player. I think there's some mindset in that of like, he's not good enough to warrant that. And right now he's probably not.
Well, he's not even healthy enough to warrant that. So
yeah. And that's a ridiculous, like, even LeBron doesn't really get like two of his friends onto the roster that can't. I mean, he had James Jones follow him around, like, you know, like as his his position, I think, on the Cavs was LeBron's personal friend over the last couple of years of his career. If you're not LeBron, you can't get like two guys that can't play onto the team. And maybe LaMelo can play. We'll see. But LiAngelo, by all accounts, is like not an NBA player.
I have a counterpoint to directly refute what you're saying, that not even LeBron can do whatever. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was given an extra $500,000 costing David Mobley his roster spot, and is told that he can shoot whenever he wants for the mere possibility of not LeBron.
And that's the Lakers trying to prepare and get in with LeBron. Like, Lonzo's not that good yet, and I don't know if they'll be willing to go to those lengths. And so I think that's behind the, like, you could just walk. And to be clear, the Lakers didn't say that. This is fans.
And the other thing, too, when I heard that from fans, it was like, well, Goran Dragic got his brother on a roster twice. J.R. Smith got his brother on. J.R. Smith's brother made more than the league minimum to play in the D-League for the Knicks. And if LaMelo is actually decent, then all you're asking for is one brother spot for two actually decent or actually good NBA players. I guess I don't see the horrible nature of LaVar Ball's threats in this circumstance. And I'm not, and you guys all know this. I've been criticized for being anti-LaVar Ball multiple times at this point. This didn't
quite. I would always respect our president.
We are going to, unless you have anything else to add on Lonzo Ball's injury.
No, I mean, I just think that they're taking the right path here. I think this is the sensible thing to do rather than rushing him back so that he can play in the Rising Stars game would have been very, like, it would have lived up to the negative perception of the Lakers and the negative way that they're viewed. And it gives me confidence that they didn't do that.
Did you raise your eyeballs at all when Luke said that he wouldn't commit to holding Lonzo out of the
Rookie? I mean, I just think that he knows that, like, that's probably not his place to comment on.
Yeah, that's one side of it. I also kind of wonder if he was told.
Luke is not like Captain Volunteer a bunch of information. This is a man
who
like will not reveal the starting lineup for like the last 2 years for like some of the worst Lakers teams we've ever seen, and guarded them like they were like the nuclear launch codes.
Yep. All right, so we are going to take a quick break, and then on the other side of this we have a interesting question that Harrison and I think, based on his reaction when he heard the question, disagree about. And we had somebody that's from I Like Giraffes with 5 stars, thank you, Laker fan all day 24, asked, would LeBron have won more rings with Shaq than Kobe did? And we're going to talk about that here on the other side of the break. All right, this guy's the subject line here is I like giraffes, so I'll give you the first go.
So would Kobe have won, or would LeBron have won more titles with Shaq than Kobe? Mm-hmm. I think the question partially depends on which version of LeBron we're getting. If it's same age as Kobe was when he played with Shaq, LeBron, then I think the answer is more, because I think LeBron was a better player right off the bat than Kobe was. And I think that LeBron was also a far more deferential player right off the bat than Kobe was. And I think that you would have seen LeBron come in and, rather than like start to fight with Shaq because of his playing style and like their different the different ways that that LeBron and Kobe play, you would have seen LeBron like chomping at the bit to play with Shaq and like salivating over that and like basically fanboying over Shaq probably. And so I think if it's young LeBron, then I think the answer is more. If it's like, you know, and if it's like this year LeBron, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to, like, it depends on which LeBron you're picking in large part, but I think if we're taking your average LeBron versus the Kobe that played with Shaq, I think I would go LeBron.
So, what if we do it like this? Because I think this is the fairest way to do this, that Kobe played his first, what was it? I think it was 3 of his first 5 years or 4 of his first 6 years or something like that. He was in the finals with Shaq, right?
Yeah.
So, what if we do the first 6 years of LeBron with Shaq at that time?
I think the answer is more, because I think he would have deferred more. I think if it was current LeBron or like last couple years LeBron, it might be less, or it might be the same amount, just because LeBron at that point like had more of like a, I'm going to set the tone and I'm going to set the culture, and I think there would have been more clash with that. Although I just think that in general, LeBron and Shaq have more like-minded personalities than or they would have had a better chance to get along than Kobe and Shaq ever did, just because of the way that Kobe looks at things.
Okay. And now the other reason I was bringing up the context of
and also when... how insecure Shaq was. Like, Shaq wasn't blameless in this whole thing. He never catches any flack for it because Kobe was the younger guy, and for most of their time together, Shaq was the better player. And so people just kind of overlook Shaq's role in it. But Shaq was really insecure about like anyone praising Kobe or anything. And it's why Phil Jackson nonstop talked up Shaq and, you know, like would kind of like push Kobe to the side a little bit.
I also think Shaq being as great as he was with the media back then had a huge role, played a
that
huge
too.
Role in
the
he, way that
he played the game a lot better than Kobe did.
Yeah, and so, but I think they win the exact same amount over that stretch. Maybe LeBron rips off one more, but I think that team that lost to the Pistons, I will contend to my dying day, and it might be tomorrow, given the amount of talking I'm going to do today. But I will contend that if Karl Malone doesn't get hurt, they probably beat the Pistons that year. I think they had run their course in the year after they lost, after the three-peat. I don't think they were going to win a fourth title no matter what. Going on that kind of a stretch, I don't think it's a coincidence that no team has won more than 3 titles in a row. Now, maybe we'll see that change with this new Golden State team. But even then, like, Kerr's already talking about it as if they're all sick of each other, right? And so I think just period, and fortunately he had the Suns to you know, let the guys coach themselves against the Suns, and that was thankful. And honestly, I just wanted to try to figure out a way to dump on Jared Dudley here, but I wasn't able to make it work. But I think no matter who plays alongside Shaq there, given his ego and given the amount of wear and tear of going to the finals 5 years in a row or 4 out of 6 years or 5 out of 6 years, whatever the numbers actually were, I think that would have made it really hard. And then the other thing too is that I think Kobe fit a little bit better than LeBron would have, seeing that Kobe was a slightly better shooter. I think he was a better perimeter defender at that stage of his career than LeBron was. And, you know, maybe LeBron makes it work and maybe he wins an extra title, but I don't think it's this open and shut case that most people are going to think it is.
Yeah, I think that there is some context there, I guess. And I think Kobe probably, to add to your points, probably fit a little bit better in the triangle alongside Shaq than LeBron would have.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we never got to see prime Kobe play with Shaq, right? We never got to see prime LeBron play. Well, actually, we did. We did see prime LeBron.
We got to see prime LeBron play with Shaq, just not prime Shaq.
We did. Unfortunately, Shaq took his injury. Well, that's the other thing, too.
We got to see him play with well-done Shaq.
All right, how do you think it would go over in today's social media market or climate if a superstar along the lines of Shaq's ability and talent level and celebrity was to get hurt and hold off on recovery because he wanted to recover? He said he got hurt on company time and he wanted to recover on company time. I don't think that goes over particularly well.
We kind of saw that with Andrew. The closest that I can remember is Andrew Bynum going to the World Cup and putting off surgery for that.
Yeah, and we saw
even that
how
was
he was
the
treated.
Full social media age that we're in today.
And we saw how he was treated for that, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, Andrew Bynum was
seen
as a joke.
I mean, heck, we're seeing Isaiah Thomas get treated like crap for not recovering from surgery that he put off to play for a playoff run.
Right.
So...
Right, and so...
You know, like, I think there is, like, less forgiveness on a lot of levels now, or there's at least more hot takery about injuries.
And so I that's why I'm always hesitant when people say, oh, Kobe pushed Shaq out the door. Well, maybe, but I don't think Shaq necessarily made things particularly easy on the Lakers while he was there, right? I just say we know the ego that he has. He hated Dwight Howard because Dwight Howard dared to wear a Superman cape.
People are going to probably get mad at me for this, but and this is not to say that Shaq and Dwight Howard are the same thing, but I feel like people would have gotten tired of Shaq more quickly in the social media age.
Perhaps.
And like if he hadn't won,
yeah,
then,
that was the thing, is he won.
That was the, yeah, that's the other thing, is he won. Like Dwight Howard, people put up with his stuff while he was Defensive Player of the Year. It was still like a, like people would like shout you down if you were like, oh, you know, like Dwight's whole shtick with like putting cookies in his mouth on TV and like making fart jokes all the time is annoying. Like people would like kind of shout you down when he was really good, but it was once he started to get bad and he left the Lakers that he started getting crapped on nonstop. And so, they're not the same thing. Shaq was, I think, still more of a competitor. I think he took things more seriously than Dwight did. But I just think that maybe they're more alike than people would like to admit. And, man, my mentions are going to be a tire fire tomorrow. Why did I do this to myself?
This wasn't even a fine.
Let
us know what you guys think, either in our mentions or preferably on the iTunes reviews.
If you're really mad, my Twitter @, just to remind everyone, is @AnthonyIrwinLA. And just, like, if you're really mad at me, you can tweet me. Again, that is @AnthonyIrwinLA.
I was just called a cupcake today for daring to remark that Jared Dudley was the one who was out of line between him and Steve Kerr.
That was hilarious. Speaking of people who are sick, I'm sick of Jared Dudley,
yes,
honestly.
Yes, go away.
It's like, dude, like, be good at basketball if you want to talk this much.
Be not round. Like, don't...
Yeah.
Although,
I guess that's kind of ironic coming from me, considering I talk about basketball on a daily basis, and I have no skills whatsoever.
Like, his job isn't to talk about basketball.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. I'm just, like,
maybe
sick
later
of him, like,
it will be, but...
Constantly... Like, I'm just sick of him constantly posturing and whatever. Like, we get it. You're trying to pump up the Suns' young guys and, like, give them a sense of pride. Like,
we
get it, dude.
That's
like,
all
just,
he's doing. He's,
like,
he's
chill
he's,
out, man.
He's positioning himself to be... Jalen Rose after his career. Like
maybe, but I think on some level it's also the, like, we don't want, like, we're going to try and set a culture here where these young guys aren't willing to just take crap. And, like, I get that aspect of it, but at the same time, like, come on, man. Just, like, chill out. Like, that wasn't a disrespectful thing. And, like, you know, maybe if you think it's so disrespectful, don't lose by 40 points anyway.
Yeah, maybe come into a season not out of shape and compete.
I just think he looks like that. I don't know that that's, like, him not being in shape.
I don't know.
I just think he has one of those body types.
He's always, I guess to your point, he's always looked that way. But he seems to have expanded this year.
Dudley got back.
Like, like Nick Young this year. Like, he's gonna be a champion at by far the heaviest he's ever been. It's incredible. Jared Dudley.
Yeah, I mean,
is
hey,
so
what can playing on the Warriors do for you? He only has to play 10 minutes a game now.
he does literally 10 minutes of exercise a week.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We have so what we're gonna do for the next show, unless something crazy happens, but what we're gonna do for the next show is tonight I'm going to talk to the guys who host the Chase Down pod, the Cleveland Cavaliers pod. We're going to have a crossover show not unlike or very similar to the crossover pod that we had with Trevor earlier this week. We're going to talk about Isaiah Thomas. We're going to talk about LeBron's future. That's going to be the bulk of the Valentine's Day show that you're going to hear by the time you're listening to this tomorrow, the following day, the Thursday show. And then what I'm going to do is, because I am married and my wife is okay with this, and we're back on Blue Apron, I'm going to recap the game for the first 7 minutes, and then I'm going to throw to that conversation. Harrison may or may not be invited. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Maybe
invited.
Yeah. Do you want to go? Do you want to be on the show?
Well, I want to. I'm not sure that that would be the best decision for my personal life.
So what Harrison is saying is that he's going to blame me for kicking him out of the show.
Well, I mean, like, no, I'm not necessarily. I'm just going to get mad at you when you tell people tomorrow that didn't listen all the way into this episode that you're going to be like, oh, Harrison's at the day spa. Well, I guess tomorrow won't be that inaccurate. Like, I guess I won't be at the day spa. I'll be trying to save my relationship on Valentine's Day. I shouldn't make this many jokes. She's very low maintenance. I think I'll be fine, maybe.
We'll see. Valentine's Day makes women do weird things. People do weird things.
Yeah, I don't know. If I don't come back,
I have like guy friends who I'm like, what? I've never cared about. You want to hear how good of a winner I got? And this is just in case Jen is.
No, I know you told me this before. The neither of you care about Valentine's Day.
No, she does. She does. Oh. But our compromise is that I get to go on Valentine's Day. Our tradition is that we watch All-Star Saturday Night festivities together. That's our tradition. We've been doing that for the last 14 years.
You found a keeper.
run that by Mia. See how that goes.
I think it'll be fine. Honestly, she's like she's very low maintenance. I think I'll be all right. But if I don't come back, I was stabbed to death, and honestly, I'm blaming all of you guys. You didn't come through for me. I asked for some Valentine's Day tips, and I got nothing. And I know your real feelings now. I know that you don't care about me.
Yep. All those people saying solo show, like you guys let down Harrison.
Yeah, you had your shot. If you had really come through, I would have been like, all right, the listeners can co-host this with me. Bye, Anthony. But, you know,
there it went.
Now you're stuck with him. This is your fault. Happy Valentine's Day.
Have a good one, everybody.